Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
This is Motor Racing Network Classics, presented by MRN.
NASCAR Racing, next on MRN Radio.
This afternoon, MRN Radio follows the Busch Grand National Series of NASCAR to Barberville, Florida, a small community just 15 miles from Daytona Beach, which is home to the Volusia County Speedway, a half-mile banked track, which, maybe surprisingly, is one of the tougher half-mile layouts around. Driver Kenny Wallace explains.
One key to this racetrack, Eli, is that it's a circle. The people in the grandstands don't really understand. When you go down that back straightaway and you go down that front straightaway, you never quit turning that steering wheel left. This is a place that's also hard on your neck, and it's G-forces, and it's the same thing on the tires. You're constantly turning left. This is a circle more than it is an oval.
Today, it's the fifth stop on the Busch Grand National Series schedule. The Florida 200 is next from the Volusia County Speedway in Barberville, Florida.
MRN Radio presents NASCAR Today. Sponsored by Goody's Headache Powders and Extra Strength Tablets, the South's number one headache powder.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Volusia County Speedway here in Barberville, Florida. Well, the spring breakers have attacked Central Florida by the thousands. The Busch Grand National Series also down here enjoying some of the sun and the fun that Central Florida has to offer. But this afternoon, it is all business for 31 of the Busch Series regulars. 200 laps, 100 miles on this circular Volusia County Speedway. I'm Eli Gold, joined by Joe Moore here at the tower. And Joe, this is a racetrack that, as Kenny Wallace just told us, is surprisingly difficult, as the stats will show over the years. They have had spin-a-thons every time the Busch Series comes to Volusia County Speedway.
Eli, a little bit different this year. The last two times the series ran here, they were night races, plus the fact that last year when the series was here, they had a number of 16 cautions because of a sealer they had put down on the racetrack. Now, that, of course, has worn off since that time, so the drivers feel like they're in a little better shape for a little bit calmer race today, but then again, they're still a lot of unknowns. This racetrack looks a little wider than it actually is, and so there's a lot to be learned once we get the green flag here in about 12 minutes.
There have been already this year four different pole winners and four different race winners in the Busch Grand National schedule. The competition highlighted by that kind of parity. 31 drivers are in the field for today's event. 32 attempted to qualify. Only Richard Lasseter failed to make the starting field, although, interestingly, he will be here today to start the Gary Neese automobile. We'll tell you more about that as our day continues. But the pole sitter, well, really no surprise. Whenever you come to a short track for Busch Grand National Series competition, chances are Chuck Bowne will either be on the pole, be in victory lane, or both. Well, he's handled one part of that equation so far. Jim Phillips is standing alongside today's pole winner.
Walking alongside Chuck Bowne, the 1990 Busch Grand National Champion, and he won six races. He sat on the pole for this race last year. This is a half-mile racetrack, but it's different. What other tracks do you compare this track with?
Well, it's a pretty round racetrack, in my opinion. The straightaways really aren't straight. They kind of are a long arc, so it's basically a great big circle. And in my opinion, it reminds me a great deal of Oxford Plains Speedway up in Maine. It's a little bit larger than Oxford, and it has a little more grip or bite because the asphalt's still quite new here at Volusia County. But as far as in shape and design, that's what it reminds me of a whole lot.
Speaking of grip, can you go all the way on tires today, or will you have to make a stop?
We don't really know. We're prepared to make a stop. I hope I don't have to, but being it's a warm day and such a round racetrack, I think they're going to try to blister a little bit. It's just a question of how much, I guess. And if they blister real bad and the times drop off, we're going to have to stop and change. But if it's just a small blister, we've done that a lot of times. We'll just keep going for full 200 laps. We can make it on fuel, but the tires are going to be the question.
That's the 1990 Busch Grand National Champion looking for his first win in 1991 here in the Florida 200.
Chuck Bound's last pole award came here in Volusia County last July. The driver sitting alongside Chuck Bound on the front row is a driver who told me yesterday he's been working hard to try to improve his qualifying. Obviously, he has, starting second today from Asheville, North Carolina, Robert Presley, with him, Winston Kelly.
And he's getting buckled into his Oldsmobile. Robert, we've been talking at the top of the broadcast about this track. Although it is an oval, it drives more as if it's a circle. What's the key to a good lap here at Volusia County?
Just being good and consistent. You know, it is just a circle. It's a lot like a local track we ran at in late models. Just, you know, get a little rhythm going with the gas pedal and you can be in pretty good shape here.
Robert, a lot of discussion about the ability to go the distance on tires. How's your tire wear been and can you go the distance?
I believe we can go distance. Goodyear Eagle's running real good there. We had a little tire trouble earlier and changed a couple springs, and I think it'll be all right now.
That's Robert Presley. He'll start his Oldsmobile on the outside of row one this afternoon.
There were a number of surprises here in qualifying yesterday. Tommy Houston, who won this race a year ago, is figuring he'd be good for a front row starting spot. Tommy starts all the way back in 22nd position. And Kenny Wallace, the driver who, although is not the money-winning leader, is the point leader in the Busch Series right now, figure that he, too, would be a sure shot to try and grab the pole position. But it didn't work out that way. He's starting in 13th spot. Back to Jim Phillips.
And the question for Kenny Wallace, since you are starting 13th, how do you get to the front? This is a hard racetrack to pass on.
Well, Jim, you know, the Cox Tree Lumber Pontiac has so far this year been a good race car during heated conditions. I'm a little concerned here lately that maybe that I'm a better race car driver than I am a qualifier here lately. But, you know, I think the situation right now is that the tires are hard and I'm going to drive easy and just pick my way to the front. I think once I burn the tires that it's going to be all over, and we're really concerned about them blistering off, so just going to try to take it easy.
Can you pass on the outside of this racetrack?
Yeah, I think we can get it done. A lot of cars are pushing here all week long, which that means they're laying some rubber up high, so the track's in a lot better shape, but it is slippery way up high.
That's Kenny Wallace, the Busch Grand National point leader. He's starting 13th.
Let's take a look at the 31-car starting lineup for today's Florida 200. Shotgun on the field is Davey Johnson of Imperial, Pennsylvania, the Bailey's Juice Products Pontiac. 30th starter, Gary Neese of Candler, North Carolina, the Beard Oil Oldsmobile. That's the car that will be started by Richard Lassiter. 29th, and a surprise, Tommy Ellis of Richmond, Virginia, the Polaroid Fan Camera Buick. 28th starter is Lonnie Rush, Jr. He's from Pinkerington, Ohio, in the Campus Auto Pontiac. 27th, Todd Bodine from Chemung, New York, the C&W Racing Buick. In 26th, Rich Burgess from Dover Plains, New York, the RB Racing Oldsmobile. Ken Schrader, the only Winston Cup regular in the field, starts 25th. He's in the Air Orlando Chevrolet. 24th starter is Cecil Eunice of Blackshear, Georgia, the Levin Racing Oldsmobile. 23rd, Jeff Green of Owensboro, Kentucky, the Sea Ray Boats Chevrolet. Going in 22nd, we mentioned Tommy Houston earlier. He's from Hickory, North Carolina, driving the Roses Stores Buick. And 21st is Pat Jones of New Lebanon, Ohio, the Adams Robinson Contractors Pontiac.
Starting in the 20th position, driving the Garner's Preserve Oldsmobile out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Ed Barrier. 19th is Steve Grissom from Gadsden, Alabama, the Grissom Racing Oldsmobile. 18th, Tracy Leslie, the Detroit Gasket Oldsmobile. Tracy out of Mount Clemens, Michigan. Ed Faree goes 17th on the field. He's from Saxonburg, Pennsylvania, in the Wolf's Head Oil Buick. Tom Peck
starts
in the...
Start your engines!
As you hear the command for the engines to be started down pit road. Again, continuing our lineup in the 16th spot, Tom Peck from McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania. He's in the Thomas Racing Oldsmobile. 15th is Butch Miller from Coopersville, Michigan, the 31W Insulation Oldsmobile. Bobby Labonte in the Corpus Christi, Texas, Penrose Pickled Sausage Oldsmobile starts in the 14th position. 13th, Kenny Wallace, who you heard from on pit road from St. Louis, Missouri. He's in the Cox Treated Lumber Pontiac. 12th is Troy Beebe from Modesto, California, the Taco Bell Chevrolet. Ward Burton from South Boston, Virginia, starts 11th. He's in the Food Country USA Oldsmobile.
Taking a look at the top 10. 10th is David Green of Owensboro, Kentucky, his Oldsmobile. 9th is Dave Resendez of Assonet, Massachusetts, in his own Oldsmobile. 8th is Joe Nemechek from Lakeland, Florida, in the Nemco Chevrolet. 7th is Elton Sawyer of Chesapeake, Virginia, the Gwaltney Buick. 6th is Jeff Burton from South Boston, Virginia, the Armor Meets Chevrolet. The top 5, Jimmy Hensley is 5th of Ridgeway, Virginia, in the Beverly Oldsmobile. 4th is Jeff Gordon of Pittsboro, Indiana, the Carolina Ford Dealers Ford. 3rd is Bobby Dodder of Chicago, Illinois, the team are racing Buick. And the front row, from whom we've already heard, Robert Presley of Asheville, North Carolina, the Alliance Training Center's Oldsmobile, the pole sitter Chuck Bowne of Portland, Oregon, the Nescafe Classic Pontiac, his qualifying speed, not a track record, but it was impressive at 106.069 miles an hour. That's the starting lineup for the Florida 200 that's coming up next.
Don't miss your chance to race for the million.
Finalists, are you ready?
The NASCAR Powerball Playoff is back. Enter now to win a VIP trip to the NASCAR Cup Series Championship race at the Phoenix Raceway, where you could take home $1 million.
The winner is contestant number two.
The race for the million is on.
It feels amazing.
Powerball, the official lottery game of NASCAR, home to the NASCAR Powerball Playoff.
NASCAR Today is produced by MRN Radio and sponsored by Goody's Headache Powders and Extra Strength Tablets, the official pain reliever of NASCAR.
From the Volusia County Speedway, this is MRN Radio.
MRN Radio presents the NASCAR Busch Grand National Series. Today, the Florida 200.
Good afternoon again, everyone, as we welcome you to the Volusia County Speedway in Barberville, Florida. As the crow flies, we're about 15 miles from Daytona International Speedway, and although the surrounding is far different, the level of competition equally as intense here this afternoon, as 31 Winston Cup and Busch Grand National drivers combine for the Florida 200 here this afternoon. Atop the flag stand right now, Mike Harwood. He is the new starter for the Busch Grand National Series. He is joined by County Councilman Big John. Yes, that is his legal name, Big John. He and I were comparing notes earlier. He said, Big Eli, how you doing? I said, I haven't yet changed my name, Big John. But he is up there to join the flagman for the start of today's Florida 200. The only member of our broadcast crew you have yet to hear from is Alan Bestwick of Daytona Beach, Florida. And with one lap away from going green, let's check in with Alan out in turns 3 and 4.
Eli positioned on a platform behind one of the billboards at the end of the back straightaway, looking back across this racetrack to the exit of turn number 2, where the cars will make that long winding arc you've heard all the drivers talk about around what is sort of a back straightaway. They'll come up about two-thirds of the way from the bottom to the top of the racetrack, then crank the wheel back hard to the left and try and get as low on the pavement as they can to get a good run up off of turn number 4 and get ready for the start. Pontiac safety car now leading the field back into turn number 4, getting ready to make the hard left turn onto pit road. Green flag about to be waved here, and we're getting the Florida 200 underway. Robert Presley gets the good jump on Chuck Bowne going down into turn number 1, now clears the Bowne car off turn 2. Presley shuts the door on Bowne, who swings out wide to try and get a good run down this back straightaway. Bobby Dotter falls in line into third. The side-by-side battle will be for 4th.
It's Jeff Gordon who gets shunted to the outside, way outside of Jimmy Hensley. He may also lose a spot to Elton Sawyer as they work to turn 1.
Sawyer will pull up on the inside of Jeff Gordon. He'll battle there side-by-side. This will be for the 5th position. Robert Presley, 4 car lengths over Chuck Bowne now. Then it goes back to Bobby Dotter and Jimmy Hensley. Jeff Gordon still working in the outside lane there behind him. The Jeff Burton car, those two machines trying to find a way to get back in that single file groove. Elton Sawyer advances, picks up the 4th spot. Now Nemechek alongside Jeff Gordon. Nemechek will have the inside groove. Gordon's car pushing up to the outside. He's hanging tough, but he'll lose a spot to Nemechek.
So as those cars continue to battle off turn number 4, further back, the only Winston Cup regular in the field, Ken Schrader, unable to make up any ground. He is sandwiched amongst a lot of traffic as the leaders work off 2.
And we'll have a challenge for the 3rd position momentarily. Jimmy Hensley looks under Bobby Dotter, can't get the job done. He'll go single file.
Getting real tight back for about the 7th position. Jeff Gordon, Jeff Burton, and David Green went 3 wide going into turn number 3. Green got down to the inside of the racetrack. He will advance, but now he'll feel the challenge of Jeff Burton.
Jeff Burton will look to the outside, trying to keep the Chevrolet wound up, but Green puts the Oldsmobile to the bottom of the racetrack. He's hanging on side by side.
Richard Lasseter will bring the Gary Neese car onto pit road as the battle for 3rd continues in turn 1.
That's Elton Sawyer ducking down
down underneath the Bobby Donner car as they come off the corner. He'll grab that spot, but that'll be for the fourth spot as Robert Presley has really left the leaders in his dust.
Presley's picked up about a five-car length lead now on Chuck Bound. Jimmy Hensley rides third. Fourth is Elton Sawyer. Fifth is where the battle is going into turn one.
Three-way battle going on there between Joe Nemechek, Dave Resendiz, and Jeff Burton. Burton is hung on the outside. Nemechek will get through on the bottom. Now they come to the end of the back straightaway. Resendiz will muscle his way to the inside.
Also, Kenny Wallace now in the equation as he tries to work to the outside of the David Green automobile back into turn one, trying to follow the outside groove established by Burton.
This four-way battle from seventh back through ninth. In seventh is Resendiz on the inside. Eighth is Jeff Burton on the outside. Ninth is David Green on the inside. Kenny Wallace is tenth on the outside.
The outside lane, the one we're watching here, is Jeff Burton leads Kenny Wallace to the outside of the David Green car. They'll try to advance once again back down in turn one.
But Resendiz and David Green holding tough down on the inside lane as they come down the back straightaway. Again, it's a dead heat as they reach the entrance to turn number three. They'll go wheel to wheel off the corner.
All the while, it is 2.13 seconds of a lead now enjoyed by Robert Presley. So while the battle goes on for 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and further back, Presley is pulling away.
And now a challenge for the second spot. Jimmy Hensley with the good bite. We'll look to the inside of Chuck Bound. He pulls up alongside.
Hensley jumps down to the inside of the racetrack, coming off turn number 4. He'll open the lane there for Elton Sawyer. Sawyer now tries to pull down underneath Chuck Bound.
Put Hensley up to 2nd. The battle will be for 3rd. Elton Sawyer on the inside. Chuck Bound on the outside. Battling back and forth. Bound will lose a spot. His car goes way to the outside on the back straightaway.
So Presley has the lead, then Hensley, Elton Sawyer, Chuck Bound, and Bobby Dotter. Joe Nemechek working his way through traffic. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Busch Grand National Series action from MRN Radio, our first ever visit to the Volusia County Speedway here in Barberville, Florida, just about 15 miles as the crow flies from Daytona International Speedway. So far, Alan Bestwick, it's all Robert Presley.
Robert is very impressive coming down this back straightaway, Eli. He's really got the right side of the car hooked up. There's not a lot of body roll on the car when he accelerates off the second turn. He's pulling away every time down this back straightaway by about another half car length or so.
Front six cars pretty well spread
trouble
out.
Trouble in turn number 3. Contact. One car spins around. It's the Pat Jones car right in front of Todd Bodine. Bodine gets it locked down. No further contact.
And there is no caution being shown on the speedway as we continue under green. That might have been the cool piece of driving of the day as early as we are, just 14 laps in. Todd Bodine doing a heck of a job not to collect the Pat Jones automobile. But as we remain under green, 14 laps into the 200-lap Florida 200, Robert Presley pulls away by better than 2.25 seconds. Jimmy Hensley is 2nd, Elton Sawyer 3rd, Chuck Bound 4th, Bobby Dotter is 5th. Live at Volusia County Speedway in Barberville, Florida, the lead is now 1.25 seconds for the leader Robert Presley over 2nd place Jimmy Hensley. One car is already retired. The Richard Lasseter, Gary Neese co-driven entry has gone to the garage. They are done for the day. And now the hood is up on the Tom Peck car, the McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania driver on pit road, Winston Kelly.
The crew is still trying to determine what the problem is. The hood's gone down. The smoke is billowing out from the right front of the car. It looks like it could be around the brake ducking, or it also could be an oil problem. Now the crew is pushing the car back behind the wall, and we'll get a comment from Tom Peck in just a moment.
That's a tough break, too. There's a team that really does not have a lot of financing behind them, but they showed up and run well at Daytona. They have run consistently all year long. They're making the races, but the dollar support is just not there, and we'll get an update on Tom Peck's machine shortly. Don't forget, there's other racing from the world of NASCAR today. Although the Winston Cup Series is off, the Richmond International Raceway is hosting the NASCAR Modified Tour. Also, the NASCAR Sportsman Division. We'll talk about that in a second. But first off, a close call for Joe Nemechek in turn two.
Got way up out of the groove, Eli, almost towards the retaining wall. Managed to wall the car down. I couldn't tell if there was a problem on the car because he's back up to speed now. Another car beginning to suffer problems is the Tommy Ellis car. He's beginning to smoke out of the header pipes on the back straightaway.
See, it's a problem for Tommy Ellis here as he continues down the front straightaway. That car is slowing coming off turn number 2. Meanwhile, the race leader, Robert Presley, is losing that big advantage. It was over 2 seconds, and we have trouble in the front straightaway. 3 cars have spun, collecting about 4 others here just past the start-finish line.
Other cars continuing to spin now. Ed Barrier gets involved in that mess. Hosts of other cars trying to pick their way through. Cecil Eunice is involved in that spin. Also, the Jeff Gordon car, which had started right near the front and fourth starting spot. As Tommy Ellis takes his car to the garage, we are under caution for the first time this afternoon as four cars spin on the 29th lap here at the Volusia County Speedway. Boy, you got a feel for Tommy Ellis. They have had some engine problems here early in the season. They've had some bad luck in particular. What about that, Tommy?
Well, we use Ruggles engines basically is the only thing that they use, and we've just had a lot of little problems that have really hurt us. We had a good car at Daytona, and we were missing a little bit in the race there, and then we went to Richmond, and we had a really good car there, and we blowed a head gasket or cracked a head or something to that nature and lost all the water. And then we went to Rockingham. We had a good engine program there, and we got in a wreck early in the race on the restart. And that hurt us. And then we turned around and went to Martinsville, and we lost a lifter, and the engine went bad. And we had a really super car in Martinsville. So the car's been fast everywhere we've been. We've had a real good car, but we've had a lot of other misfortunes that have plagued the team. And we need to try to keep our morale up. We know that sooner or later we get these things behind us, we're going to be good, because the cars are fast and they run good, they handle well, and the guys work hard on them. So it's just a matter of time. Hopefully we can get everything clicking together.
A tough break again for Tommy Ellis. It looks as though his afternoon is over.
As he goes to the garage area, several other cars involved in that crash have come in for pit stops. Let's go down there for a report.
First to Winston Kelly.
Well, several of the cars, as you said, had come in for service. There's some problems on the back of the Cecil Eunice car. His rear bumper was almost all the way off, and they pulled it away. We're standing with Tom Peck, who's out of the race. Tom, what's the problem?
I think we broke an oil line somewhere on the motor, and I ran two or three laps. Although I had oil pressure, we just decided not to chance it and come on in, because we lost two or three laps just looking to see what the problem was. When you get two or three laps behind, you're in trouble.
Tom Peck out of the race, and we'll get a comment from Tommy Ellis as well as he's pulled his Buick behind the wall.
Jim Phillips.
Jeff Gordon brought his Ford in. He was involved in the accident also. We'll get a word with Bill Davis. Bill, what kind of damage do you have?
I don't think we're hurt. We just want to check, make sure there wasn't a fender on the tire.
That's Bill Davis, the crew chief for young Jeff Gordon.
Meanwhile, as we were saying before, Richmond International Raceway hosting the Modified Tour. Jamie Tomaino is on the pole for that race today. They were rained out in qualifying. They will start in the order of their 1990 season-ending points. So Jamie, the Tour champion, is on the pole. Today over at Five Flag Speedway in Pensacola, Florida, the NASCAR Dash Series, with Dean Combs getting the win over Scott Weaver, David Probst, who is the new point leader in the series now, Mickey York, and Roger Roos. That is the Dash Series results from Pensacola as the cautions again come out here at Volusia County Speedway. In the new NASCAR All-Pro Series, that's the combination of the All-American Challenge and the All-Pro Super Series of years ago, Jamie Prell, who was a Pensacola regular, he has won the pole for the All-Pro event today. Jerry Goodwin will start second, Bobby Gill third, Clay Brown fourth, fifth will be Randy Porter, then Rick Crawford, Mike Garvey, Junior Nedekin, Jack Cook, and Gary Bradbury, the starting lineup for today's All-Pro event.
Eli, we've caught up with Tommy Ellis, who's out of the race. Tommy, what's the problem?
Well, I think we must have blown a head gasket or cracked a head. It's probably the same problem we've been having, because in about 20 laps, it run hot. The oil temperature was all the way pegged, and the water temperature was all the way pegged, and it just run till it finally wouldn't run no longer. And just another bad day for the Polaroid fan cam, Buick, and Tommy Ellis, and I just can't tell you how disappointed we are. This has really been an unbelievable year so far.
Tough luck for our former champion of this division. Tommy Houston came in, a little bit of damage to the left rear of his car. Now he's moved his Buick back onto the track.
Five cars were involved in that spin. Jeff Gordon, Cecil Eunice, Tommy Houston, Rich Burgess, and Ward Burton. Of all those, they have been able to continue. 34 laps now complete from the Volusia County Speedway.
Let's remind you that next weekend, MRN will be back on the air with the Busch Grand National Series race from the Hickory Motor Speedway in Hickory, North Carolina, the Mountain Dew 500. MRN's broadcast time next Sunday will be at 1:45 Eastern Time. And don't forget, Saturday evening at 8 o'clock, they've got Busch Pole qualifying for the Busch Series, plus NASCAR Winston Racing Series action for four different divisions. That's coming up next Saturday and Sunday. Our broadcast next Sunday afternoon at 1:45 Eastern Time. Then looking ahead, it's on for the Busch Series and the Winston Cup cars to Darlington, April 6th, the Pontiac 200 for the Busch Series. Then April the 7th, the Trans South 500 for the Winston Cup cars. MRN will be there both days. Then April 13th and 14th, on to Bristol, Tennessee. April 13th, the Busch Series. The 14th, the Winston Cup cars. Then the Busch Grand National Series continues to Gainesville, Georgia, April the 27th to wrap up the month of April. The ticket offices are open. You might want to make your plans as quickly as possible.
Getting ready for the restart here at Volusia County Speedway. Safety car ducks down on the pit road. A double wide restart. The only car on the outside lane, the lap car of Jeff Gordon. Robert Presley brings it back across the stripe, leading Jimmy Hensley by a car length as they head down into turn one.
David Green gets the cool move on that restart. Got a good jump. Got underneath Dave Resendiz and Kenny Wallace to pick up a couple of spots. Meanwhile, Presley moves up to lap the Pat Jones car.
Pat Jones' machine just hugging the inside retaining wall, trying to stay out of everybody's way as the field puts lap 38 up on the board. Back to turn number one. It's still Presley showing the way.
Presley moves up about a half a groove, coming up off the corner. The next car in line, the lap machine of Jeff Gordon. Then second place, Jimmy Hensley. Elton Sawyer third. Chuck Bound fourth. And Bobby Dotter fifth.
Kenny Wallace moving up on the outside of Bobby Dotter. He'll be challenging for the fifth position, but first he'll have to battle with David Green. He's down on the inside going into turn one.
Wallace will get that spot on the outside, pull up alongside the Bobby Dotter car. Dotter slips up coming off the corner. Everyone's going to try and go to the outside of him. Wallace will go around. David Green will make a bid.
Dave Resendiz will also try and follow through. Likewise, a host of other cars getting in line to try and take the outside group to further chase down the race leader, Robert Presley. We are 39 laps complete of the 200 here this afternoon. Along with Joe Moore and the entire MRN crew, Eli Gold welcoming you back to Volusia County Speedway here in sunny, beautifully balmy Central Florida. It's a gorgeous afternoon for racing. And Robert Presley, who's had things going all of his way, Alan Bestwick, might all of a sudden need to check his rearview mirror.
He has got his hands full with Jimmy Hensley, who's closed right up on the back of Presley's bumper. A little tap through turn four.
Hensley's beginning to look down to the inside of Presley. Coming off turn four, was not quite able to make the move. He'll check him out again, going to turn one.
Presley's car slips up half a line. Here comes Hensley down to the bottom. The blue and white Oldsmobile wrestling his way up alongside Presley's black and gold car. Wheel to wheel through the corner. Hensley comes out on top.
This is the battle for the lead. Off turn number four to the stripe. Hensley by a half car length. He is the next man to lead the Florida 200. The black flag is out for Cecil Eunice. This looks like somebody has taken a can opener to the left rear of his car as somebody spins in turn number two.
That's Jeff Green. Eli got a little help from behind. Looped it around once. He's got the car fired and moving again. Six cars behind him scattering to avoid contact, and will stay under green.
All the while, Robert Presley loses several more positions. He got trapped on the outside. Elton Sawyer, Chuck Bound, and now Kenny Wallace get by Robert Presley, and Presley will lose another position as they come back to turn four. It's David Green moving up to the low side of the racetrack, so he too gets by the Robert Presley car. The Jeff Gordon, the lapped machine, still down on the inside of the racetrack as the front five or six cars get by.
It was as though when the clock struck 50 laps, problems began to crop up as we welcome you back to the Volusia County Speedway here in Barberville, Florida. The Busch Grand National Series Florida 200 led by Jimmy Hensley. Elton Sawyer runs in second, Chuck Bound third. Kenny Wallace running in the fourth spot and David Green holding on to fifth. But almost as soon as we hit lap 50, some four laps ago, smoke began billowing out of a number of different cars. One car on the racetrack is Ward Burton, showing what appears to be smoke from its rear end. And Troy Beebe, the West Coast campaigner, who's driving the Mike Swaim-owned machine, has just taken his car to the garage. Jim Phillips.
Troy Beebe, a short afternoon. What happened?
You know, I think our transmission case is broken, and we're losing fluid, so we had to pull in. Taco Bell Thompson Chevrolet was running real good today, but just have to go with what you got.
And more problems up pit road. Let's go to Winston Kelly.
Ward Burton has brought his Oldsmobile in. The crew looked up underneath it. There's smoke billowing out from under it. They couldn't find what the problem is, but the smoke has subsided. It looks like they're going to send Ward Burton back onto the racetrack.
All the while, Jimmy Hensley continues to lead the event with Elton Sawyer tucked in behind him about five or six car lengths back to Kenny Wallace. And a side-by-side battle now for the fourth spot. Chuck Bound moves down to the inside of the track to pick up a spot from David Green. Some of the drivers using the Hoosier tires beginning to move up a bit. Butch Miller now has advanced up to about the seventh position. Dave Resendiz was running quite well, but now some problems for his car. He's falling back in the field.
We should mention that for those of you who listen strictly to Winston Cup races and never do pay heed to the Busch Series, there is a two-tire company situation here in the Busch Grand National. As we saw years ago, both the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company and the Hoosier Tire Company are represented here in the Busch Series. Elton Sawyer is pretty much the banner carrier, if you will, the standard bearer for the Hoosier Tire Company. There are others, however. Dave Resendez among them who are using the Hoosiers. Others tested both types here this week and then opted for either Goodyear or Hoosier. But, of course, tires, a story in Busch Series competition, but not as much as it is in the Winston Cup, because here a two-lap penalty is imposed if you pit and make a tire change under caution. In a situation such as a short track, you go two laps down here at Volusia County and your day is pretty well over. But most of the teams, Joe, when they tested here over the last number of months, said that after 50 laps or so, the tires started to go away, and that's about the point where we are right now.
We've seen that happen in several instances. For instance, Robert Presley, who had that over 2 second lead in the field early in the race, he's faded way back beyond the top 10 now. There was a good battle raging on for the fourth position several laps ago. David Green and Kenny Wallace in the thick of that, but now Wallace has won the battle, and Alan, he's moving up to challenge Elton Sawyer.
Wallace will make a bid now for the second spot on the outside of Elton Sawyer. David Green has moved into third, and Chuck Bown has now fallen back to fourth.
63 laps. Kenny Wallace off turn number four gets the good bite and grabs the spot away from Elton Sawyer. Are the tires pretty much what you like now here at Volusia County, Kenny Wallace?
We tested in December, and the thing that I'm concerned with is a set of tires that we did run 50 laps on, we had a little bubble come up on the right front, which is a term, it's starting to blister. And that's the tire Goodyear has elected to come back here with. So, you know, I would imagine right now, unless the racetrack is totally different than December, which I can't imagine is, that we're going to have to pit for tires.
Of course, the one thing we do need to remind everybody is that when they raced here and tested here, it was a green racetrack. Last night, there was a Winston Racing Series program here, and obviously whatever problems Kenny had earlier in January with the Goodyears, not here today, because Alan, he's picking his way through traffic now, challenging for the lead.
And you know, the interesting thing, Eli, is that he made three of those passes in moving his way up through traffic on the outside of this back straightaway. Now, that's a bit unusual. Usually, you want to try and dig underneath somebody at the exit of turn number two and kind of root them to the outside side groove in turn four, but what Kenny did was use the strength of his motor to put the hammer down and go all the way around the outside and kind of chop him off at the entrance to turn number three. So Wallace is really hooked up in this racetrack.
Hooked up and chasing down race leader Jimmy Hensley all the while. Some good side-by-side battle going on behind him. David Green has bypassed Elton Sawyer, and now Sawyer is feeling the heat of Chuck Bound, who's right on his rear deck, coming back to turn three.
The attrition list, Richard Lassiter is out. Tom Peck has retired his car. Tommy Ellis gone with engine failure, and Troy Beebe out with a transmission problem. And now Winston Kelly is standing by alongside Ward Burton. They've just pushed that blue, white, and red car behind the wall.
They're jacking it up, and they're going to continue to work on this Oldsmobile. See if we can step in here and get a word from Ward Burton. Ward, what's the problem on the car? What's the problem on the car?
I don't know. It's, the temperature in the water went up real high and then we started smoking. I don't know if the motor got to blow by or what, but got that 1 mileage real shame. The car started to come around to me real well.
After a strong 11th place starting position, Ward Burton behind the wall.
Kenny Wallace really beginning to close in now on Jimmy Hensley. He was there a couple of times, and it's going to be some pretty tight picking when they get up into a heavy pack of traffic, which they're closing in on as they head back into turn one.
And as they come up on the back end of the Ed Barrier car, also Todd Bodine running there in the Rich Burgess car, who was involved in that one major accident we've had on the front straightaway. Right now, Wallace is tucked right on Hensley's back bumper in four.
We are under caution for the second time this afternoon in the Florida 200. It happened to Pat Jones as he was racing to the outside of two other cars coming by Alan Bestwick over in turn three. You could almost see that one coming, Alan.
Yeah, this is not a racetrack you want to race three wide at for long. He was on the outside of that line and got kind of bumped up. The car started to spin on him. The back end broke loose as he exited turn number four. And when he corrected, the car snapped around the other way and piled into the front stretch wall head on.
Hit pretty hard against this wall on the front straightaway, but he is moving around in the car. Safety truck has come out to take care of the situation there with Pat Jones.
Second caution flag of the afternoon as Pat Jones, the driver from New Lebanon, Ohio, tried to move the outside retaining wall halfway to his home state. He gave the wall quite a lick as he came off turn number four and tried to save the car, couldn't quite do it, and finally came to rest after impacting the wall here on the main straightaway. So as we work under caution, Kenny Wallace is the leader. He had taken the lead, Joe, just prior to that caution flag coming out.
Kenny had been moving up to the field after starting 13th today. He had really made some nice moves and working his way around some of the traffic. He just gotten around Jimmy Hensley to take the lead. Robert Presley started on the outside front row. He had taken the lead by a wide margin in the opening laps, then started to fade back in the field. He has come in on pit road. Let's go down and check on the situation there with Jim Phillips.
As a matter of fact, we've had three cars in on pit road. We'll get a word with Ricky Pearson here. Ricky, you brought in Robert at the pits. What's wrong?
He seems to think something's wrong with the ratchet in the rear end. He said the thing just got real loose all of a sudden, so, you know, so we made some adjustments on it maybe to help it.
That's Ricky Pearson, the crew chief for Robert Presley. Also, Bobby Donners came in. They're looking at the transmission on his automobile, and also they cut some holes in the front air dam. The car's running hot. Jeff Burton came on the pit road. They made a chassis adjustment on his machine, about three rounds of wedge out of it, so he's running tight. The car does not want to turn in the middle of the turns. Those three cars have been on pit road.
And Winston Kelly told you they were working on the Ward Burton car with that overheating problem of sorts, and the work does continue on that machine at the very moment. A quick look at the rundown as we are under caution on lap 80 of 200 here today. Kenny Wallace is the race leader. Jimmy Hensley runs second. Third is David Green. Chuck Bown is fourth. Jeff Gordon runs fifth. And sixth spot now is Butch Miller. Seventh is Elton Sawyer. Steve Grissom runs in eighth. Ninth is Ken Schrader. Rounding out the top 10, Joe Nemechek, also among the lead cars. Tommy Houston running in the 11th spot, and 12th at the moment is Jeff Green. Quick reminder that with the race upcoming at Darlington in a couple of weeks from now, the Trans-South 500 for the Winston Cup cars, you might want to swing by the folks at Trans-South Financial Corporation. They are one of the top consumer finance organizations headquartered, interestingly, in Florence, South Carolina, just down the road from Darlington. They have four chances for you to win $5,000. Four different shots at winning five grand, plus a chance to win a 1992 Ford Explorer. The only rule, basically, is you've got to be 21 years of age or older. Check out the folks at Trans-South Financial and get information about the Dash for the Cash contest underway right now.
Quite a bit of debris spread here on the front straightaway. Cleanup operations continue there. As we told you, Winston Racing Series action is underway here already in the state of Florida, but NASCAR's Winston Racing Series will soon be getting underway at racetracks all across America. America's best short track racers will compete for regional and the national NASCAR Winston Racing Series Championship. For the name, address, and schedule of the Winston Racing Series track nearest you, write NASCAR Public Relations, Post Office Box 2875, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32115.
Spent some time talking with Ken Schrader here yesterday at the Speedway. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, Joe. A lot of the trade papers carried the article about a nice party that was held in St. Louis the other day, honoring Kenny Schrader's folks. Ken said, you know, a lot of us kids just don't do enough for our parents. And he said, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be racing at all. We talked about the deal just a bit yesterday.
Well, we just, you know, we had a big party for my parents. I guess you'd say it was like a wedding anniversary, except it wasn't their anniversary, and it was no certain special year. It wasn't 50 or 35 or anything like that. But we just decided to have a big party. My mom and dad are up there in age, and we invited a lot. It turned out to be like a racer's deal because we invited friends, some of them they probably hadn't seen in 20, 25 years, people they used to race with every week. And a lot of the racing fraternity from St. Louis came out, and it was a real good time. But
you know, Kenny's dad had won some 300 feature races in the St. Louis area, which I didn't realize.
We're still under caution here at the Volusia County Speedway because of the crash involving Pat Jones. They have pulled that car away, but still cleaning up some of the debris late on the Speedway here. The Florida 200 continues here in beautiful, sunny Barberville, Florida. We're still under caution because of a crash that occurred just several minutes ago. Pat Jones involved in that. They pulled that car into the garage area. Winston Kelly is there.
The car is pretty well done for the day. A lot of damage to the front end. Pat Jones is still sitting in the ambulance, but he is sitting up talking to the paramedics. He has his right shoe off, complaining of a little bit of damage. His right ankle hurts a bit, and we'll see if we can get a comment from him in just a little bit. But Pat Jones sitting up and talking to the paramedics in the ambulance in the infield care center.
From the Volusia County Speedway, this is MRN Radio.
We are back at Volusia County Speedway, still under caution on lap number 88. Cleanup continuing after the Pat Jones accident. If you're just joining us along the way, early in the afternoon, it had become the Robert Presley benefit show. He had pulled away by some 3 seconds over the rest of the field, but bit by bit, he began to drop back. Those caught him, and then eventually when he pulled out in a traffic jam, he was passed by five other cars. He ended up running back in sixth position. Jimmy Hensley and Kenny Wallace had battled for the lead, and most recently, Wallace making a pass on Jimmy Hensley to grab the top spot. Right now the cleanup is continuing, and they're just about wrapped up here on the speedway. An old dirt track wedge car just heading back into the garage area. That's one of their cleanup vehicles here at Volusia County. Kind of looks like the old Flintstone Flyer, if you remember the dirt track wedge cars of years gone by. And we're about set to go back to green here in just one more lap. Sterling Marlin, who is not here this weekend, but of course will be back in action at the Darlington Raceway in the Trans-South 500 in a couple of weeks. He posted the fastest lap during the Motorcraft 500 at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. He won the Tyson Lickety Split Award worth $1,500 to him. Of course, the top driver in the entire season will earn $30,000 at the end of the year. Kyle Petty currently overall leading in that category ahead of Dale Earnhardt, Davey Allison, Sterling Marlin, and Bill Elliott. And they'll contend again for the Tyson Lickety Split Award. We get back to Darlington in 2 weeks.
Going back under the green flag, here's Kenny Wallace leading down across the start-finish line. Jimmy Hensley follows him back to turn number one. The scramble behind them, David Green and Chuck Bound.
David Green almost lost the spot to Bound, got it back. Now he's going to lose it again. Bound gets down to the inside of David Green at the end of the back straightaway. He'll force Green to the outside.
Ward Burton returns. He's 33 laps down as he's back in the race with the leaders back in turn one. Kenny Wallace pulling away from the scramble behind him.
Still, the battle is for third spot. Chuck Bound and David Green. Green is on the outside. Bound rides him up the racetrack a bit. Now tucks back down to the bottom, and they'll go wheel to wheel again.
We've seen several drivers hooked up pretty well in that outside lane, and David Green looks to be joining that group as he holds it on the outside. Back into turn one, he gets an edge over Chuck Bound.
Green tries to nudge his way out front, but again, Bound winds the car up as they circle around this back straightaway. He'll pull out by half a car length. Then at the entrance to the corner, Green pulls right back alongside.
As Cecil Eunice goes to pit road for a change of tires, which remember you cannot do under caution unless you want to lose a couple of laps. While he's on pit road, the battle for third continues.
Contact again. Bound taps Green in the right rear quarter panel. They both get it straightened out, and Green will take the third spot.
Green grabs that position. Bound is still there, though, battling away on the inside. But now Butch Miller pulls up directly behind David Green, and Elton Sawyer is there on the inside of him.
Miller will try the outside. Sawyer is tucked in the inside line behind Bound. Now Bound is going to weave all the way to the outside of the racetrack. Sawyer will take a look underneath.
As Elton Sawyer tries to make the move around, they'll go back off turn number four to the stripe. Elton is there. He'll bypass one car and tuck right back in again behind Chuck Bound.
Gets by the Butch Miller car, who couldn't make it stick in the outside. Now they'll all go single file. Third is David Green. Fourth is Chuck Bound. And again, he'll feel a quick challenge from Elton Sawyer.
Bound's trying to get by the David Green car as he drives into the corner a little bit heavy. Elton sees a lane open up down to the inside. He tries to plug it down to the bottom side of the track.
Again, they go single file, though, as Green is moved off from Chuck Bound by about a car length and a half. Then it's Elton Sawyer behind Bound. Then the side-by-side battle for six between Steve Grissom and Butch Miller.
Grissom found the opening. He'll dart to the inside, trying to take Ken Schrader along with him. Both of those cars to try and bypass Butch Miller between turns one and two.
Grissom is at the bottom. Schrader tucked right in his bumper. Butch Miller pinned up to the high side of the racetrack. Grissom will clear the car. Now Schrader will try and go underneath.
Schrader directly behind Steve Grissom coming off turn four to the inside. Now with the Butch Miller car, that battle continues back in turn one. Meanwhile, up front, it's Kenny Wallace leading the Jimmy Hensley car. Four car lengths back now to the David Green machine, then Chuck Bound and Elton Sawyer.
Let's talk about this Kenny Wallace car. It's a black, green, and white Pontiac, but it's a brand new car. It's one of those newfangled Mike Laughlin Pontiacs. And I asked Kenny Wallace what this new Pontiac look and the new front end is all about.
On some of the short tracks we run where you have real tight radius corners, especially here at Volusia, is one of the racetracks where you take these 3,200-pound race cars and barrel them in a corner and the front end wants to slide out. And this is a new Laughlin car that we have here with new front end geometry. In other words, it makes the tires stick better, the front tires. So I'm excited about it because this is one racetrack that I always push at. And Steve Bird and the guys got this car together, and we've tested, and so far so good.
And so far so good today for Kenny Wallace as he leads the Florida 200, but he now leads it under caution as Lonnie Rush Jr. just gave everybody here on the main straightaway a pretty good view of a spinning race car. He tried to gather it in off turn four, just didn't work.
It's one of those situations where you kind of stay in the gas and hope you can save it, but he couldn't quite do it. It did completely loop around. He didn't make contact with anyone else, and he has rejoined the tail end of the field.
There will always be more leaves, weeds, and yard debris. And when they show up, tackle yard cleanup with the Craftsman V20 brush
Brushless RP Outdoor lineup, delivering more runtime and better performance. The Craftsman V20 Brushless RP lineup of outdoor products will help you cut, trim, and blow through whatever your yard throws at you. Your grass, no problem. Overgrown hedges, not anymore. A neighbor who won't stop distracting you with weather talk? Well, you're on your own there. But for everything else, head to Craftsman.com. Craftsman. Build on. See Craftsman.com for details.
After a very brief caution flag period, we are back to green again. Kenny Wallace leads the Florida 200 here at Volusia County Speedway. You're tuned to live coverage on MRN Radio. Jimmy Hensley is second. David Green runs third. Bobby Dotter is fourth. Chuck Bound fifth. Elton Sawyer runs sixth. Steve Grissom is now seventh, with Ken Schrader showing an eighth. Butch Miller is ninth. Joe Nemechek is tenth. The lead cars are back in turn two.
And they're all running single file for the moment. The guy who's having trouble handling in this end of the racetrack is Chuck Bound. There are four lanes of racing groove painted off on the back straightaway by broken lines, and Chuck Bound is the only car going all the way to the very outside lane of pavement, and that's where he's losing all of his positions. Eldon Sawyer is really working Bound over again off of turn number two, looking to the bottom of Chuck Bound's car, but not able to get it done.
Bound really struggling to keep that car down in the lower groove, but again, he opens up the lane that Eldon Sawyer can see. This time, he's not able, though, to fill the groove down on the inside of the racetrack. Meanwhile, it's heating up front as Jimmy Hensley is chopping down the distance between himself and race leader Kenny Wallace. Wallace goes back into turn number three. Hensley about a car length off his rear deck, and directly behind them, a good third place battle. David Green has his hands full trying to hold off Bobby Dotter.
They come back off into turn number one now. Everybody running single file for the moment. Up the back straightaway, it's again a half a car length between first and second. Five car lengths back to the third place battle as Chuck Bound tries to get underneath Bobby Dotter.
Bound tries to make the move again. He'll draw even off turn number four and back to turn number one. Dotter using the unconventional outside groove, staying right with Bound in turn two.
This will not be a battle for position, though. Bobby Dotter having lined up on the outside lane on that restart, so he's actually trying to get back up and get back on the lead lap.
As that battle continues further back, Kenny Schrader moves up on the Steve Grissom car. Grissom, another one of those drivers not really hooked up in the outside lane. He's continually losing ground. We've talked a lot over the last few weeks about Steve Grissom, one of quite a few of the Busch Grand National drivers starting this season off without a sponsor. It's got to be kind of depressing. You know, Steve drove the tow truck to the racetrack. He was out in the garage area setting up the pit this morning while some of the other drivers were tending to some other duties or just kind of relaxing before the race. And I asked him what kind of effect that has on the crew when you don't have a sponsor and you know things are tight.
Well, I'll tell you, it's pretty tough, but I got to give the boys to work on the car credit. I mean, they keep their head up. They work every week, and they have the same attitude we did last year, and that's to try to go to the racetrack and win. And, you know, that's what we all try to do, and let that kind of take care of itself.
You know, he won four races last year. Hasn't had a whole lot of luck this year, but the car's looking pretty good today as he continues running in the ninth position.
So as the field works themselves back on lap number 113, Dave Resendez will tuck onto pit lane for service. The battle for third place now begins to heat up just a tad more as David Green is joined by Chuck Bound and Eldon Sawyer. Those three cars work back into turn number one.
For now, Green has separated himself from the battle by about two car lengths, but Chuck Bound is really having his hands full with Eldon Sawyer. Bound's car slipping up on the back straightaway, and Sawyer continues to try and work the bottom.
Sawyer aims the nose of his Gwaltney Buick down to the inside of the track, but he's not able to take advantage of the lane that opens up down low. Bobby Dotter also there in that pack of traffic as they go single file off turn two.
111 laps of 200. The lead is still held by Kenny Wallace. The hood has just gone down on the Ed Barrier machine, and he'll be heading back to the garage area. We'll get the post-mortems on that car in just a short while, but so far, Alan Bestwick, Kenny Wallace been able to use up pretty much whatever part of the racetrack he needs to keep Jimmy Hensley at bay in second.
Right, it sure has, Eli, but the real story in this part of the racetrack is problems for Chuck Bound. He's just dropped off the pace. Five cars have gone by last lap.
Let's go to the pits and Jim Phillips.
They're going to change left side tires on the Nescafe Pontiac. Pointed out that he just can't hold it down on the racetrack. Last couple of times through this corner, down in turn one, he was just washing out, and the left rear tire on that automobile is flat. It's blistered, so tire problems have begun in this race, especially for Chuck Bound. 20.3 seconds on the two tires stop for Chuck Bound.
120 laps are complete. It'll be interesting to see how many of the other front runners have to come in and how shortly they'll have to make their stops. Some of the front runners, particularly Kenny Wallace, shows no signs of any problem. His car still hooked up quite well. And Jimmy Hensley, likewise, still handling good coming through the turns.
Of course, what had been a fairly comfortable edge a short while ago for Wallace will now evaporate. Here goes Hensley for the lead off turn number two.
Wallace got hung up behind the Chuck Bound car, who came off the pit road right in front of the leaders. Hensley looked for just a moment while Wallace tried to find a way around Bound.
So Wallace follows the Chuck Bound car, again Bound on the tail end of the lead lap, back into turn number one. Jimmy Hensley directly behind Kenny Wallace again, looking for it, coming off turn two.
Bound's car swings way out wide. Wallace will look down low as Ken Schrader drops off the pace on the back straightaway. For the moment, Hensley, two car lengths behind Wallace.
Schrader is on pit road for service. No, he'll make the hard left turn and go directly to the garage area. So the attrition list continues to grow. Richard Lasseter, Tom Peck, Tommy Ellis, Troy Beebe, Ward Burton, Pat Jones, and now Ken Schrader gone to the garage. Let's go to the pit area for a quick update.
We've caught up with Pat Jones, who was involved in the earlier accidents. Kenny Schrader brings his car behind the wall. Pat, how about your condition first? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'd like for the car to be doing a little bit better right now. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Adam Robbins.
What happened out there?
Well, we had a brake problem right off, and we came in and bled the brakes, and we went back out and was running pretty good, and the brakes went down, and they came back, and I went down in the corner and pushed on the brakes, and it just kept on going.
That's Pat Jones, and we'll get an update on Kenny Schrader's situation in just a moment.
Jim Phillips is there with Ken Schrader now.
Kenny, what happened?
Something in the engine laid down. It dropped the cylinder, and its oil pressure's still up, but it started smoking. Something in the top end, I guess.
Looks like you were making pretty good progress toward the front, though.
Yeah, I guess we were. You know, I really got people, thank people there, Orlando, for helping us out down here. We started 25th, and I think we were up to 6th, so we were looking pretty good.
That's Kenny Schrader. He's out of it here this afternoon in the Florida 200.
And now it looks as though there's some telltale smoke from behind the Tommy Houston machine. We'll check as to whether he might have an oil leak in a moment. Let's bring you up to date on lap 135 of this 200-lap affair. Kenny Wallace still leads, and Jimmy Hensley is still second. They have both just picked their way through a pack of about 6 pretty good race cars that they were lapping at this juncture, so both men are now, at least for the moment, pretty well free and clear. Ed Berrier has gone to the garage, as we told you. He is done for the day with engine failure, as was Kenny Schrader. We updated that a short while ago. Elton Sawyer was just in for a pit stop, and Jim Phillips, what was the condition of the tires when they made the stop?
Well, again, it was the left side tires. They changed, Eli, and the left rear was blistered on that car also. He's running the Hoosier brand tires. Of course, Chuck Bound, who pitted earlier, was running the Goodyear tires. They were blistered also. Let's check on to Kenny Wallace's situation. Steve, you haven't pitted yet. There's some blistered tires showing up. How about your tires so far?
Kenny says he's been running real easy. He's been taking care of the tires. We're going to go all the way unless he gets a vibration. Things are looking good right now. See what happens at the end of 200 laps.
He sure knows how to set a car up here. He set the car up that Rob Rosso won the first race here at Volusia County in 89.
This is one of those tracks when you are in a round track as opposed to your conventional oval. You're always turning, as we heard at the very outset of the broadcast. That will really help build up the tire temperatures, and that's what the teams are combating. We also mentioned before we broke away that we saw some smoke from behind the Tommy Houston car. Winston Kelly, what are they saying?
We talked to Andy Houston, one of Tommy's sons, and they're hoping that his tire problem, Tommy has radioed in and said the car is a bit loose. However, looking at the car going down the straightaway, it looks like the smoke continues, and it may be as a result of that earlier accident that Tommy Houston was involved in. He has some damage to the right front of the car, so we're still waiting to see if he brings that Buick onto pit road.
A couple of cars get together coming off turn four. Elton Sawyer trying to stay on the tail end of the lead lap, collected Cecil Yunus. They made a little mix and match here in turn four, but finally Sawyer gets away. Kenny Wallace continues to lead the race. He's just ahead of the Jimmy Hensley car. Wallace now gets around the Cecil Yunus machine and continues to pick his way through some of the heavy traffic.
Today, as per usual, the members of the media in attendance will vote the Goodies Headache Award. $250 will be on the line for the driver voted that dubious honor. I would guess that Pat Jones, with his crash into the turn four wall, has a pretty good Goodies Headache going right now. He is okay, as we heard, but he is just one of the many who would be eligible for that honor here today. The lead car is still Kenny Wallace. Jimmy Hensley running in the second spot. Now, it's been a tough week already for some of these Busch teams. The other day at Hickory, where we will be next weekend, Mark Martin and Dale Jarrett both had crashes in testing sessions at Hickory just this past week, and their crews are feverishly getting themselves back into gear. We'll be there for the 1:45 Eastern Time broadcast next Sunday afternoon, the Mountain Dew 500. And unlike last year, they've extended that race now. It's, what, 276 laps?
Not only have they extended the race, Eli, but they've put new asphalt down since last year. So a lot of unknowns going into that race next week at the Hickory County Speedway. One car back in on pit road, Davey Jones in for service. Let's see if Winston Kelly has a report.
Jerry Kennan and the crew going to work on the right side of that Pontiac, which is owned by Ted Connor. The right side rubber stopped. They're not putting any fuel in. Looking at the tires that are coming off, they don't look quite as badly worn on the right side as the left rear tires have looked. Now he's down and returning to the action.
So pit stops continuing at lap 148 for some. Others, as we have heard, Jim Phillips talked with Steve Bird seconds ago, crew chief for the Kenny Wallace car, and unless a problem crops up, they don't expect to have to stop. And it's amazing. We were talking with Birdie yesterday, and he said, yeah, we're going to stop about halfway through the race. And now as they've seen how the tire wear has been for that particular team, how much Jim Phillips' tire wear and how much is chassis set up? Where do you know eventually where to start pointing the fingers if you're a team trying to get a car running correctly?
Well, usually it's the chassis setup on a lot of racetracks, but a racetrack like this where you're turning all the time and then you have a tire battle, you've got two brands of tires going against each other, Eli. They try to get the tires as soft as possible to make the distance. So a lot of times that comes into play too, the compound. If you only had Goodyear tires out here, they probably would have made a harder compound that would have made the distance, but they would have been a little bit more slippery. But this track, according to Kenny Wallace, really grips. You really get a good bite off the corners. That can make the tires blister, especially if you're turning all the time like these drivers are.
So those are some of the stories playing out here this afternoon at Volusia County Speedway. Kenny Wallace picking his way through race traffic with a 1 1/10 second advantage on second place Jimmy Hensley. Can everybody go the distance? Will the tires hold up? Let's go to pit road and get an update first with Winston Kelly.
We're standing with Wayne Day, who's the crew chief on Butch Miller's car. Wayne, can you go the distance, or are you going to pit?
Yeah, we think we go the distance.
What Butch said about how the car's handling and the tire wear.
Very decent.
Okay, we took a closer look at the tires that came off of Davey Johnson's car, and the right front tire was blistered most of the way around. Now, Butch Miller is running the Hoosier tires, and as you heard from Wayne Day, they hope to make it the distance.
And he's running third right now.
Butch has come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden has tracked down the second-place car, Jimmy Hensley, and his car is hooked up as well as anyone's has been all day, Alan.
Butch Miller has really worked traffic masterfully coming through the race this last 40 laps. He started all the way back in 15th, and if anybody has paced themselves to save tires among the cars running at the head, Butch Miller would have to be the guy. He wasn't out there running hard in the first 75 laps of this race or so. Right now he's closed right up to be about a car length off of Jimmy Hensley's back bumper.
The lead car, that of Kenny Wallace, pulls to the inside of Todd Bodine and Dave Resendiz, while Hensley has to go to the outside of Ed Faree as the lead cars pick their way through a pack of seven other automobiles in turns one and two. Let's go back to the pits, Jim Phillips.
We're in the Jimmy Hensley pit with Bobby King. Bobby, we saw a couple of cars come in and pit, and they've had blistered tires. You plan to go all the way?
We're going all the way, yeah. Too late to pit now.
Has he said anything about the car?
It ain't feeling too bad. We're going to hang on and be all right, I think.
That's Bobby King. He's the crew chief for Jimmy Hensley. Two cars pitted, Joe Nemechek, and also Jeff Burton pitted. Both right rear tires were blistered on those machines.
Well, it's just 34 laps to go, so we're about to find out if that was a good decision or not to stay out on the racetrack on those tires they started the race with. Kenny Wallace has done that. He still shows the way. Jimmy Hensley still rides in the second spot, and Butch Miller, who's running the Hoosier tires, still is out there on the same tires he started the race on. All three cars seem to be handling quite well.
Now, one factor we're seeing here, Hensley is not getting through the race traffic nearly as easily as Kenny Wallace was. The lead for Wallace just four laps ago was 1 1/10 seconds. It is now 1.93 seconds. So over the span of the last handful of laps, Alan Bestwick, Kenny Wallace got through while Hensley and Butch Miller did not.
One thing that's helped Kenny Wallace in that, Eli, is that the cars that made pit stops, a couple of them came out on the racetrack between when Kenny Wallace went through that group of lap cars and when Jimmy Hensley got there. So those cars that are running now between the leader and the second place car have fresher tires than the race leader.
Elton Sawyer directly ahead of Kenny Wallace. He's kind of opening up the holes for Kenny, and Kenny's not really trying to pass Elton. He's just kind of following him, and Elton's setting a pace that's fast enough that allows Kenny to keep his distance over second place Jimmy Hensley. The battle's still further back. Butch Miller working some heavy traffic going back to turn one.
Now Miller's going to take a shot on the outside as Jimmy Hensley goes to the bottom of the track. They clear lap traffic for the moment. Here comes Butch Miller to the outside. He'll easily clear Jimmy Hensley in four.
So as Butch Miller moves up, he'll grab second spot. The question now is, will 29 laps be enough for Butch Miller to make up what is now almost two full seconds? And actually, this time by, it is better than 2 seconds behind the race leader, Kenny Wallace. Miller cuts to the inside of Steve Grissom, and you can tell the way that car is working. He will put it anywhere he needs to, Joe, and that's what's one of the keys for Miller here. Handling is a factor.
It handles equally as well on the outside lane as he passes to the outside of a slower car or to the inside, as he just showed us getting around the Steve Grissom car. Now Miller makes his move wide around Joe Nemechek, who slows down in turn number three. He's cleared all that slower traffic and now has a clear line of sight to race leader Kenny Wallace.
But it's a good 20 to 25 car lengths back from Kenny Wallace to second place Butch Miller. Wallace still hugging along the back of Elton Sawyer's car. Clear racetrack between the lead two.
Here comes Wallace off turn four. We get the interval again. First place and now second Butch Miller. 2.48 seconds. So the interval continues to grow, actually, as Wallace's car works as impressively. Ed Faree's car continues to smoke out on the racetrack. A host of others do, but we work our way on lap 184. Let's give you a quick rundown behind Wallace and Butch Miller running in the second spot. We told you of Tommy Houston third, Jimmy Hensley now in fourth, and Steve Grissom running in the fifth position.
Eli, if anything, it looks like Kenny Wallace has turned up the wick a little bit. For a while, Butch Miller was tracking him down, but now Wallace has even stretched that lead over the second place car. Plus, Butch Miller is not getting through traffic as easily and as quickly as Kenny Wallace was doing. Miller still bogged down behind some of the slower cars going through turns one and two. He's working on Cecil Yunus and Elton Sawyer now.
Miller's had a whole lot of trouble getting through some of these cars who've been racing among each other side by side for a couple of laps around here. Now he's going to clear the Cecil Yunus car off of four.
As the field works on lap 187, does 13 laps remain in the running of the Florida 200 here at Volusia County Speedway? Butch Miller trying as he might, just cannot make up any ground as Ed Faree brings his machine onto pit lane. Winston Kelly.
They're going to work on the left side of the car. He's got the left rear brake is overheating. They're pouring water all over the left rear of the car to try to cool down the brakes on the left rear of the car, and then he's going to return to the action. He stalls the car, and now he'll return.
All the while, Kenny Wallace continues to lead the way, picking his way through traffic and extending that lead over the second place car. Wallace is on the back straightaway now, coming around for the signal, which will be 10 laps to go. His lead now 5.5 seconds over the second place car of Butch Miller. Here's Wallace following Chuck Bound across the line, and the signal is out. Just 10 laps to go in the Florida 200.
As Kenny Wallace moves through lap traffic and turns one and two, he'll circle around the Rich Burgess car, now approach the Chuck Bound car again. Butch Miller, meanwhile, is slowing a little bit on the racetrack. Tommy Houston has just gone by Butch Miller.
And Kenny Wallace is picking up 0.2 seconds a lap on Butch Miller. And now the changeover in position that Alan just mentioned. Tommy Houston, who had that smoking problem earlier in the Rosa Store machine, now one of the quickest cars on the racetrack.
Down the back straightaway, Houston ducks underneath the Robert Presley car, but he's got a long way to go to catch up to Kenny Wallace.
Kenny Wallace crosses the start-finish line, heads off into turn number one. He's trapped in another pack of traffic right directly behind the Chuck Bound car, but he's really kind of biding his time for now, not trying to make any moves. Let's go to the pits.
There is a problem developing on the Kenny Wallace car with his engine. Just talked to Steve Byrne. He said that right now he's running at half throttle, trying to save it till the end.
We noticed he wasn't really making any jumps and trying to get around some of that slower traffic, so that is showing here in the latter stages of the race. Kenny Wallace has now cleared the Chuck Bound car, moves up on the rear deck of Ward Burton here as he comes back down to the start-finish line. The move over flag being displayed by Mike Harwood, the Busch Series flagman, letting some of the other cars get out of the way as Wallace makes his way off turn two.
Sweeping all the way out to the top of the racetrack, down this D-shaped back straightaway. Kenny Wallace now down to the inside behind the Ward Burton car.
He'll look for the five to go, signal now atop the flag stand. Mike Harwood gives him that marker, and just 2.5 miles remain in this Florida 200. Kenny Wallace looking for the win. He's in turn two.
Wallace will go to the outside of the track again as Ward Burton slows on the inside of the back straightaway. Wallace will bypass him and come up off of four one more time.
These nervous last of the race jitters are not unusual for Kenny Wallace. At Martinsville last year, they gambled on fuel. They didn't quite make it. With just a handful of laps to go, he ran out of fuel and lost what would have been the chance for his first ever victory. Now today, engine problems could be the problem here for Kenny Wallace. For now, he maintains his speed off turn four, crosses the line just four more times around Volusia.
Kenny Wallace tucks the black and green and gold Pontiac down to the low side and turns one and two. Again, begins to make that wide arcing sweep up the back straightaway. Lots of clear racetrack now ahead of the race leader.
And it's still 4 6/10 seconds of a lead for Kenny Wallace over Tommy Houston with just a couple of laps remaining. It'll be the white flag next time by as the leader is again in turn two.
It's Kenny Wallace looking for that first Busch Grand National Series victory. Halfway down the back straightaway again, he flashes by and into turn three.
Wallace is in clear racing room now coming off turn four. He sees the white flag crossing the line. One more trip around to win the Florida 200.
Fans in the grandstand and on top of the motorhomes in turns one and two waving as Wallace flashes by in the Pontiac. End of the back straightaway now. Off the throttle, he's on his way.
A winning combination. Veteran crew chief Steve Bird and driver Kenny Wallace. Victory here in the Florida 200 at Volusia County Speedway. Let's check in with a happy bunch of racers.
Okay, Steve Bird, how about it now? Engine lasted. I said the engine lasted.
Yeah, with about 20 to go, he said it sounded like it was losing a valve, you know. But it held on, you know. At Cox, Mobile One, Miller General Draft, Pontiac really got it. And I want to thank all these boys. They're a hell of a team, the greatest team I've ever worked for. And I wish my wife and kids were here. Man, I'm happy, I'll tell you that.
That's Steve Bird, the crew chief for Kenny Wallace.
Old Birdie's a happy man right there, and he knows what it takes to get around this Volusia County Speedway.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy in. Four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Ryan's out here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Kenny Wallace picks up his first ever win in Busch Grand National Series competition here at the Volusia County Speedway. Tommy Houston comes in second. Third is Butch Miller. Fourth is Jimmy Hensley. And fifth is Bobby Dotter. We'll hear from some of the drivers in the top five when we come back from the Volusia County Speedway. This is MRN Radio.
NASCAR Today continues on MRN Radio.
Kenny Wallace having just jumped on top of that black, white, and green Cox-treated wooden machine. He celebrates the victory downstairs trackside, but meanwhile in the garage area, the postmortems continue for some fellas who came awfully close but couldn't quite pull off the win. Tommy Houston had a fine run. He's with Winston Kelly.
I'll tell you, looking at the damage to the front end of this Buick, Tommy, that's got to be as tough a second-place finish as you've gotten.
Yeah, it come awful close up there when Ed and I, you know, Ed stopped for the wreck in front of him, and I saw it happening there. I couldn't get stopped in time, you know, and it tore up the front end on it, bent the fender in on the tire, and the car pushed a little bit. It was a little tight to start with, and, you know, it did give us an opportunity to make the adjustments on it, and then I knew that it was working awful good, but I knew how good Birdie can set these chassis and how good a driver Kenny Wallace is, and I figured I could get everybody. I didn't know about him, and the way it worked out, it, you know, I was picking him up a little bit, but he was being able to lead the race tiptoe along, and you got to congratulate him. But I tell you one thing, this Rosie Store Buick did good. Mike Laughlin did a good job on the car, and Don Miller did a heck of a job on the engine, as well as the Goodyear tires. I mean, you run them 200 laps as hot as it was today, and you don't have any problems out of them. You got to say something about it.
Now, Tommy, as you said, you were catching him toward the end of the race, but he seemed to be able to work traffic a little bit better than you could.
Yeah, I think it was in his gear, and I think he was geared a little lower, and he probably had a little little more tire stagger than I had. I'd have to wait a little bit longer than I wanted to coming up off the corner, but, you know, we'll take it. This was one of the first races for the new Bilstein shocks on this car, too, and I think that had a lot to do with this car to hold its pace because we could still run some 50s there late.
Tommy, you had a little bit of smoke coming out of your car the last half a minute, last 50 laps.
Yeah, I was telling them the oil temperature had gone on up, and, you know, I was having to keep an eye on that, and I'd ease up and run a little softer pace, and then I'd go hard again, and then when I'd see a couple of guys in front of me for position, I'd go hard, you know, and then he'd back up, and we'll take second off this deal.
Those are the thoughts of Tommy Houston in the garage area. Let's go to victory lane.
27-year-old Kenny Wallace started out as a mechanic, then went to ASA and raced in that division. Now to the Busch Grand National, your first career in. What's your thoughts?
Man, I'm the happiest person in the world right now. I tell you, I was dealing my wife a fit at home. Just my whole family's won. You know, I didn't think I was ever going to make it. Always second, third. Every time I'd be leading, something happened. But, you know, all this goes to my brother Rusty and his wife Patty. I tell you, you know, I wouldn't be here without them. I totally want to dedicate everything to Rusty and Patty because, a lot of people don't realize how great of a brother he is. He gave me this whole effort. He believed in me, and he knew I'd persevere, and I never let it get me down. But, tell you, when you win your first time, you don't know you're going to win. You just drive, and God, it's great. You know, Cox Treaty Lumber, Miller Jenny Draft, and Mobile, got to stick that in there. My people are great. Without them, we wouldn't be here.
The race, you started 13th. You said before the race you could pass on the outside. That's where you did most of your passing.
Well, you know, the whole team's perfect, but there's something about Steve Bird's setup. They're a race car setup. They're not, I mean, you know, they qualify good. They get you in the middle of the field, and I do everything I can to qualify, but they just seem to don't hook up for two laps. And I think Steve Grissom last year, you know, kind of showed that. But, man, I'll tell you what, he kept telling me to be easy at the first race, and I said, Birdie, man, I'm not even using the brakes. But the car was just excellent.
Tell us about the last 20 laps, though. You had a little bit of a problem, you thought, cropping up.
Well, what happened is the car was hooked up so good, I was wide open every lap coming off of every corner. And we weren't turning the motor very many RPMs. I didn't know if the tires were blistering, but I kind of felt a vibration, and I wanted to know how big of a lead I had. And I just run at half throttle, and these Busch cars, you never know. I was running half throttle and running just as quick, so it made me a little nervous, but I just bowed down, never looked at the flags, never looked at nothing. I knew when that white flag came, then it would be the next time around.
Busch Grand National point leader, this has to give your team a lot of momentum right now. You have over a 100-point lead going into this race.
I'll say one thing. You know, you can't be here without the people behind you, and you know, once again, I mean, my brother Rusty and my whole family behind me, and I like to say hey to Mom and Dad, my brother Mike back at home. This is just great, and just keep digging, you know. My brother was a champion in 89 and wins the Cup. He's having a rough going, but I'll tell you what, he's going to be tough down the road, perseverance, and that's what I've had, and it's paid off.
That's Kenny Wallace, the winner of the Florida 200.
Win number one has got to be really special for a young driver who finally picks it up. Again, he's been so close so many times, and finally to pick up that first one. A big celebration, I'm sure, tonight.
Five starts this year, one win, three top five, and four top ten finishes. Well, while the celebration continues in victory lane for Kenny Wallace and that entire racing team, let's go back to Winston Kelly, get another thought or two from the garage area.
Another one of the drivers that had a good run this afternoon, Butch Miller. Butch, good run for you, but things kind of slowed down toward the end.
Well, thank you very much. We did have a good run. We're proud. We had a little Chevy 4.3-liter V6 in this thing. Most of these guys run Buicks, but we had a little Chevrolet in there. Ran terrific all day long. And, you know, we started out the race, and we didn't, you know, we've never been here before. We started out too loose. And, you know, I just had to baby the tires and baby them and baby them. And finally, about lap 140, I couldn't baby them anymore because, you know, the guys were getting away. So I went after them, and I hurt them a little bit. And, you know, I think if we could have tightened it up, we could have been right there with Kenny.
Some of the best racing of the day was between you and Jimmy Hensley. Tell us about that when you took second place.
Well, Jimmy, he's a great racer, a terrific sportsman. You know, we're looking for a sponsor. We'd love to have a sponsor for our car. That guy goes and wins a race last week. He can't find a sponsor. I don't understand this at all, you know. But Jimmy is a terrific, fair racer. When I got near him, he gave me all the racetrack I needed. You know, there was no rubbing of tires. I like racing like that, you know. And down the road, when he needs some room, I'm going to give it to him, too.
Now, once you got around him, though, the car seemed to slow up a bit, and Tommy Houston was able to get around you. What happened to the car then?
Well, that's about when I'd been using the car pretty hard. About the time I went by Jimmy was when I started using the car real hard. And, of course, when a car's loose and a track surface as smooth as this is, it doesn't wear out tires, but it builds a tremendous amount of heat. And we started building a lot of heat in the rear tires, and of course, then they blistered, you know. But fortunately, you know, we'd saved the tires long enough to where we didn't blister them until about the last 15 or 20 laps.
He didn't win, but you can hear the smile in Butch Miller's face as he comes home in third this afternoon.
He has a lot to be proud of, coming home with a good finish like that.
Here at Volusia County Speedway, Kenny Wallace winning the Florida 200 in impressive fashion today. Second place going to Tommy Houston. Third was Butch Miller. Jimmy Hensley finished fourth, and he has to be awfully pleased with the succession of finishes that they've had here in the last couple of races. Let's get the thoughts of the driver from Ridgeway, Virginia.
Well, Jimmy Hensley, you battled up front all day long, but you slipped a little bit at the end.
Well, we did, Jim. You know, I thought we ran real good. Kenny ran a super race today. I was glad to see him win. He deserves to win. He's run good. And, you know, I thought we ran, you know, top two or three cars all day, and we slid back a little bit the last 25 laps out. Tires went away a little bit, and, you know, Ford's not too bad with our Oldsmobile with no sponsor on it. So hopefully we can get something here and keep going and start and keep running with these guys.
Tell us what it feels like when the tires start to go to a driver like that, when they start to blister.
Well, at first of the race, you know, you could drive in the corner and just cut it, and it'd stay on the bottom, and when you got in the gas, it come off pretty smooth, and then when your tires go, you go in, it kind of drifts up with you, and then when you jump in the gas, it tries to spin sideways and just kind of makes you feel kind of weird or get you fighting the wheel a little bit there. So we just tried to keep it smooth and not tear the tires up. It was real hot today, and we felt tires might be a problem, and so, you know, we didn't change, but probably should have, but, you know, we wound up full, so that's not too bad.
How far can you go without a sponsor, though, Jimmy?
Well, right now it looks like we're going maybe to Bristol. You know, it's a shame. We've got a good team. You know, we've been in the top 10 every race except for Daytona, and, you know, was in that wreck on the first lap and it got us messed up in that race. So we're running good right now, and I think we can keep running good when we get a little help.
That's Jimmy Hensley, the fourth-place finisher here this afternoon in the Florida 200.
The top 10 as we have it for you right now. Kenny Wallace is the race leader and winner. Tommy Houston finishes second. Butch Miller third. Jimmy Hensley fourth. David Green fifth. Jeff Green will finish sixth. Seventh will be Bobby Labonte. Todd Bodine finishes eighth. Steve Grissom ninth. And Chuck Bound will finish in 10th. That is unofficial at the moment. The members of the media here today at Volusia County Speedway have voted the $250 for the Goody's Headache Award to Pat Jones. Pat Jones, really no argument there the way he tagged this outside retaining wall earlier.
Quite a crash for him. David Green had a great run coming home in the fifth position. Winston Kelly's with him.
Yeah, David, it's quite a bit different than the last time we talked at Daytona. You've had some tough luck since then, but coming back here to Florida, a good strong run today.
Yeah, the deal at Daytona was probably the highest point of my career, and then we went to Richmond and broke an axle and didn't get in the show and went to Rockingham, done real good. I went to Martinsville and inexperienced, played a big role there, and I missed the field. Come here today and qualify in the top 10 and run up front all day long, and I think our only problem was we hurt the tires a little bit, and no problem with the car or nothing like that. It's just, I believe, inexperience on my behalf on lap cars and stuff like that.
Now, David, you didn't pit today, but you were telling me a minute ago that you did blister some tires but were able to stay out there.
Yeah, we blistered both rear tires there, and I think just about everybody did. It's so hot down here today, but I hurt the tires more so than the tires hurt me. You know, I hurt them in lap traffic where it took Kenny and them a lap to get around cars. It took me two laps. So I was trying to be real cautious, and it hurt me in a way. And I just heated the tires up, and that ruined it for the end of the race. But we're tickled. We ran third right there right with them, and we're looking forward to the rest of the year. And I want to thank, you know, the TIC people and the Oldsmobile and Goodyear. I mean, it was great. So I'm really looking forward to it. We're excited.
David, if you can take it easy on the racetrack, it seemed like you were a little bit cautious today. You never ran up right toward the front, but you were always between fourth and eighth position all day. Were you kind of easy on the tires?
Yeah, I mean, that was the strategy all down pit road here, was to be easy on them. And again, I've got very few laps in these kind of cars, and the last thing I wanted to do was kind of get myself in trouble. But our plan was perfect to lap 140 or so, and then maybe at that time, you know, maybe I should have picked up the pace just a touch, but I figured we were still running the same times as the leader, so I think you got to be cautious, you know, because first you got to finish before you can win. So it's just a learning deal, and maybe one of these days I'll have an experience as Kenny and Tommy Houston, them guys, you know, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's a great guy.
Another guy that's pleased with his run today, David Green out of Kentucky, comes home fifth this afternoon.
Well, here at the Volusia County Speedway today, unlike previous years, this race was slowed only three times by caution, a fairly clean race. The average speed this afternoon was 85.918 miles an hour, the race taking 1 hour, 9 minutes, and 50 seconds to complete. Kenny Wallace is the winner. Tommy Houston finishes second. Butch Miller third. Fourth will be Jimmy Hensley. David Green finishes fifth. Sixth will be Jeff Green. Seventh is Bobby Labonte. Todd Bodine will come home in 8th place, Steve Grissom 9th, and Chuck Bound 10th. 11th and a good run for Lonnie Rush Jr. 12th goes to Elton Sawyer, Jeff Gordon 13th, Robert Presley 14th, and Bobby Dotter 15th.
Finishing 16th, Tracy Leslie. 17th is Dave Resendez. 18th is Joe Nemechek. Davy Johnson comes home 19th. 20th is Cecil Eunice. Rich Burgess finished 21st. 22nd was Ed Faree. Ward Burton was 23rd. 24th was Ken Schrader. Ed Berrier came home 25th. 26th was Pat Jones. 27th, Troy Beebe. Tommy Ellis finished 28th. Tom Peck was 29th. And Gary Neese came home 30th.
A total of three leaders today, with Robert Presley showing the way early in the event, then Jimmy Hensley and Kenny Wallace eventually taking home the win. Next stop for the Busch Grand National Series next weekend, the Mountain Dew 500 at the Hickory Motor Speedway. 276 laps. That's 100 miles. MRN's airtime next Sunday will be 1:45 in the afternoon Eastern Time. Tommy Houston always runs so well at Hickory. It's his home track. He's looking forward to going back.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We ran some tests for Goodyear over there 2 weeks ago, and then we went and practiced again with this new Mike Laughlin car. And you know, taking this road to Shore Buick back to Hickory is—it's always exciting for us to see all our fans.
That's the Hickory Motor Speedway. They'll qualify for the Busch Pole Saturday night of next weekend at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. They'll also have four different divisions of racing in the NASCAR Winston Racing Series, and the ticket office is open starting again tomorrow, Monday through Friday, and right up to race day next Saturday afternoon. Been a fun afternoon here today, Joe. A good race.
Certainly good, and perfect weather for all the action. Again, next week they'll be qualifying, as you said, during the nighttime hours. That was a twist we'd failed to mention today, in that last year, every time that the Busch Grand National Series ran one of these weekly short tracks, they would qualify in the afternoon, then race at night. This week and again next week at Hickory, they qualify at night and race in the afternoon. So kind of a twist, and I was talking to Jeff Burton and some of the drivers, said it makes it kind of interesting to do it differently.
Our thanks to Melissa Ward and Judy Molinaro, who are on the scoring loop this afternoon. Eddie LaRue is our production assistant. For Joel Moore, Alan Bestwick, Jim Phillips, and Winston Kelly, I'm Eli Gold. Congratulations to Kenny Wallace, winner of the Florida 200 here at Volusia County Speedway. So long, everybody.
Motor Racing Network Classics is a production of the Motor Racing Network, with studios in Concord, North Carolina. Remember to visit MRN.com for all the latest news and information. Any use of the accounts or descriptions contained in this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.
At Arizona State University, we're bringing world-class education from our globally acclaimed faculty to you. Ranked number one in innovation for 10 consecutive years, and number two among public universities for employability, ASU isn't just ahead of the curve, it's creating new paths to success. Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university. Online, that's a degree better. Explore more than 350-plus undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs at asuonline.asu.edu.